καλησπέρα σας. This is Gospel Radio Sifania με την νέα σύνδεση τότε. Sifania Radio Gospel την φαίνει χασίχνε την άχρηση χάτη. Μα εν τ' άλλες μέσα είσαι αν δεν τις λέει ο Ντάφορ χαζάντη αυτή. Δεν έχει να φασίσει φαίνεται ότι το 12 ορσό διραχόμοντο σύστερ ένα φανατίμσκερκ. Σύστερ έμα, εφέστε να σύστερ ένα, μυζίκ. Ένα όμστε. Ρέμα με τέτοια σπρούχεν βόρτ. Τι είχα ελεφύρεν αφλήφρεν φαν γόσπολ ως εμπέστ, εν τα μη είχα ένα μούτεν είμα. Στη φανιά ράδιο με συμφένα χασίχαντα, λέξατε του. Wilt u reageren in België 020 33 76 81 3 of 33 42 32 8? Steeds op de 102.4 FM op de kabel. Wij gaan doorzakken naar Heemskerk van waaruit zuster Henna de uitzending zal openen. Een goede morgen, zuster Henna.
Goedemorgen, broeder Koor.
Van harte welkom. Ik geef je de microfoon en wens je God zegen, sterkte en kracht toe.
Dank u wel, hoor.
Alsjeblieft.
Zo, God en Vader, dank u wel, Heer. Voor deze nieuwe morgen. Dank u wel, Heer, voor deze nieuwe dag. Dank u wel, Heer, voor uw liefde, voor uw genade, voor uw trouw. Dank u wel, Heer, dat we weer met u deze dag uw woord mogen lezen en delen en van mogen genieten, van mogen leren. Wij vragen om wijsheid in zich en kracht. En wat we niet begrijpen, Heer, dat we bij u mogen komen om te vragen van Vader, wat bedoelt u daarmee? En dat maakt u ons wijs door uw woord. Daarom is het zo belangrijk, Hemelse Vader, om uw woord te onderzoeken, om het te lezen, dat we het kunnen begrijpen en ook kunnen groeien met u en door u. Vader, wij loven u, wij prijzen u. Wij geven u alle eer, ook op deze morgen, deze nieuwe dag. En wij vragen om uw leiding met alles wat we zullen ondernemen. Dat u onze leidsman bent. De Heilige Geest ons mag leiden met elke beslissing die er genomen zal worden. Of wat er ook deze dag gebeuren zal. Zegen een ieder die meeluistert. En zegen een ieder die meeleest. En ook de mensen, Heer, die het mogelijk maken, zoals Radio Sifania, broeder Cor en zuster Marlene, die het mogelijk maken, dat uw woord in de huiskamers terechtkomt. Heer, het is een zegen, want het is niet bij iedereen zo. Het is niet bij een ieder openlijk. Sommigen moeten gaan schuilen om u te loven en u te eren en u alle eer te geven. Maar wij mogen vrij zijn om het openlijk te doen. En dat is op zich genade. Genade zo oneindig groot. We verdienen het soms niet, maar toch geeft u ons dat. En wij willen u daarvoor danken. Danken omdat u onze Vader bent. Danken omdat u onze Abba bent. U bent onze Papa. Dank u, Koning Jezus, voor uw bloed dat gegoten heeft voor ons aan het kruis op Golgotha. Dank u, Heilige Geest van God, die ons iedere dag weer leidt en begeleidt met wat we allemaal zullen ondernemen. Dat we u centraal stellen in ons leven. Wij loven u en prijzen uw grote naam. Amen. En ook vanmorgen wilde ik een woord met u delen. En dat vindt u in Psalm 119, vers 18. Neem de sluier van mijn ogen. De langste psalm in de Bijbel gaat over de wet van God, zijn woorden en geboden. Niet als wetten en regels die streng opgevolgd moeten worden, maar als leefregels voor de relatie met God. De geboden van God zijn niet bedoeld als een juk waaronder de mens moet zuchten. Vandaar het gebed. Neem de sluier van mijn ogen. In het Nieuwe Testament brengt God zijn zoon naar voren die meer van de sluier weg wil nemen. Bovendien hebben wij brieven van Paulus en andere leerlingen die nog meer vertellen over wie God is, hoe hij een relatie met ons wil en hoe de Heer Jezus de weg naar God heeft geplaveid. Zo wordt de sluier over de woorden van God in het Oude Testament steeds verder weggehaald. Wij mogen leven als mensen die God kennen en hoop hebben voor de toekomst. Dat kan omdat God het ons heeft verteld in zijn woord. De schrijver van de psalm verheugt zich in Gods geboden en vertelt dat het woord van God hem hoop gegeven heeft. Verschillende keren zegt hij dat Gods woorden hem inzicht geven in wie God is. Als uw woorden opengaan, is er licht. Het leven is niet altijd gemakkelijk. Mensen zijn soms tegen ons omdat wij God willen volgen. De schrijver zegt, ik word vervolgd zonder reden, verlos mij. En ik ben neergedrukt. Ik heb verdriet, maar juist dan wil ik uw wonderen overdenken. Ik roep tot u met heel mijn hart. Met heel mijn hart zoek ik uw gunst en ik weet dat uw woord voor eeuwig vaststaat. Zelfs de hemel en de aarde blijven bestaan omdat God zijn voorschriften voor de kosmos heeft gegeven. De schrijver zegt dat hij geen verkeerde bedriegelijke wegen wil volgen, maar de betrouwbare weg volgens Gods wet. De hele Bijbel mag onze richtlijn zijn die God ons voor ons bestwil heeft gegeven. Wij mogen God ook vertellen dat wij wel eens verkeerde wegen kiezen. Hij wil dat graag van ons horen en er op zijn manier op antwoorden. Laten wij in ons hart de keuze maken om voort te gaan op de weg van Gods geboden van zijn woord. God spreekt tot ons, door mensen, via antwoorden op gebeden, door omstandigheden of door dingen uit de natuur, maar vooral door zijn woord. De psalmdichter eindigt het gedeelte van vandaag met: u geeft mij ruimte. Dat tekent precies waarom God ons zijn woord heeft gegeven. Mogen de schellen van onze ogen vallen om op deze manier het woord van God te kijken, naar het woord van God te kijken. Ook voor het nieuwe jaar dat straks gaat beginnen. Ik hoop dat u er klaar voor bent om samen met mij te lezen uit Johannes 1 Johannes 4. Gaan we helemaal lezen en daarna uit Matthäus 3 helemaal. We beginnen met 1 Johannes 4. Leven vanuit Gods liefde. Vrienden, geloof niet iedere geest, maar ga eerst na of iemand door de geest van God bezield wordt, want er lopen nogal wat valse profeten op deze wereld rond. Hieraan kunnen wij weten of God geest spreekt. Ieder die erkent dat Jezus Christus een mens van vlees en bloed geworden is, zegt dat door de geest van God. Ieder die dat ontkent, heeft de geest van de antichrist, de vijand van Christus, waarvan wij weten dat hij komen zou, maar die nu al in de wereld actief is. Vrienden, u komt uit God voort en hebt zijn tegenstanders overwonnen, want hij die in u woont is machtiger dan hij die de wereld beheerst. De tegenstanders van God horen bij de wereld en maken zich dus alleen maar druk om dingen die van de wereld zijn. Daarom hebben zij in de wereld ook iets te zeggen. Omdat wij het eigendom van God zijn, zullen alleen de mensen die hem kennen naar ons luisteren en de anderen niet. Op die manier is het mogelijk om te onderscheiden of iets namens God gezegd wordt of niet, of het waarheid is of leugen. Vrienden, laten wij elkaar lief hebben, want de liefde komt van God. Wie lief heeft, is uit God geboren en kent God. Maar wie niet lief heeft, kent God niet, want God is zelf liefde. God heeft ons laten zien hoe groot zijn liefde voor ons is, door zijn enige zoon de wereld in te sturen. Door hem wilde God ons nieuw leven geven. De liefde waarover het hier gaat, is niet onze liefde voor God, maar zijn liefde voor ons. Daarom stuurde hij zijn zoon, die de straf voor onze zonde op zich heeft genomen, om de verhouding tussen God en ons weer goed te maken. Omdat God ons zo heeft lief gehad, moeten wij elkaar ook lief hebben. Niemand heeft God ooit gezien. Maar als wij elkaar lief hebben, leeft God in ons. Dan is zijn liefde volledig in ons aanwezig. En hij heeft ons de Heilige Geest gegeven. Daardoor weten wij dat wij één met hem zijn en hij één met ons is. Omdat wij het met eigen ogen hebben gezien, getuigen wij ervan dat God zijn Zoon gestuurd heeft als redder van de wereld. Ieder die dit gelooft en zegt dat Jezus de Zoon van God is, blijft één met God. Wij hebben de liefde van God leren kennen en vertrouwen daarop. God is liefde. Wie blijft lief hebben, blijft één met God. Als de liefde in ons haar doel bereikt, kunnen wij vol vertrouwen de dag van het grote oordeel tegemoet zien, omdat wij in deze wereld leven zoals Christus er leefde. In de liefde is geen plaats voor angst. Integendeel, de volmaakte liefde verdrijft de angst. Angst houdt altijd verband met straf. Wie nog angst kent, kent de volmaakte liefde nog niet. Dat wij hem lief hebben, komt doordat hij ons eerst heeft lief gehad. Als iemand zegt dat hij van God houdt, maar een hekel aan zijn broeder of zuster heeft, is hij een leugenaar. Als hij niet van een ander houdt die hij kan zien, hoe kan hij dan van God houden die hij nooit heeft gezien? God heeft duidelijk gezegd dat wij niet alleen van hem moeten houden, maar ook van onze broeders en zusters. Dat was van 1 Johannes 4. We gaan door naar Matthäus 3. Ik hoop dat u er klaar voor bent om verder met mij te lezen uit Matthäus 3. Johannes de Doper roept op tot bekering. In de tijd begon Johannes de Doper met zijn verkondiging in de woestijn van Judea. Hij riep iedereen toe: bekeer u, want het koninkrijk van de hemelen is vlakbij. De profeet Jesaja doelde op deze man toen hij zei: luister, ik hoor de stem van iemand die roept in de woestijn. Baan een weg voor de Heere, maak zijn wegen recht. Johannes droeg kleren van kameelhaar en had een leren riem om. Hij at sprinkhanen en honing van wilde bijen. De mensen kwamen van alle kanten naar hem toe, uit Jeruzalem, uit de Jordaanvallei en uit heel Judea. Ieder die zijn zonde beleed, werd door hem gedoopt in de rivier de Jordaan. Er kwamen ook verscheidene Farizeeën en Sadduceeën naar hem toe om zich te laten dopen. Toen hij hen zag, zei hij tegen hen: stelletje sluwe slangen, wie heeft u verteld dat u aan het komende oordeel van God kunt ontsnappen? Laat eerst maar eens in uw leven zien dat u zich bekeerd heeft en denkt niet dat u vrij uitgaat omdat u van Abraham afstamt. Want ik verzeker u dat God zelf deze stenen in kinderen van Abraham kan veranderen. De bel van Gods oordeel ligt al aan de wortel van de bomen. Elke boom die geen goede vrucht draagt, wordt omgehakt en in het vuur gegooid. Ik doop met water als teken van de bekering. Na mij komt er iemand die belangrijker is dan ik. Ik ben het niet eens waard zijn sandalen te dragen. Hij zal u dopen met de Heilige Geest en met vuur. Hij staat klaar om het kaf van het koren te scheiden. Het koren zal opslaan in de schuur. Maar het kaf zal hij verbranden in een vuur dat nooit uitgaat. Jezus door Johannes de Doper gedoopt. Jezus verliet Galilea en ging naar Johannes om zich ook door hem in de Jordaan te laten dopen. Maar Johannes hield hem tegen. Ik moet door u worden gedoopt, protesteerde hij. In plaats van u door mij. Doe maar, antwoordde Jezus. Want we moeten precies doen wat God van ons verlangt. Toen doopte Johannes hem. Meteen toen Jezus gedoopt was en uit het water kwam, scheurde de hemel open en Johannes zag dat de geest van God in de vorm van een duif op Jezus neerdaalde. Een stem uit de hemel zei, dit is mijn geliefde zoon, hij verheugt mijn hart. Dat liet de Heer ons weten. Door een duif op Jezus te sturen en te zeggen, dit is mijn geliefde zoon, hij verheugt mijn hart. Luisteraars, ik wens u een gezegende dag toe. En zo de Heer het wil, tot de volgende keer. Amen.
Dit was het gesproken woord, de zuster Anna. Wij gaan door nu met het gesproken woord. De Pastor Samuel Lee.
But by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there is power in the word of God? Hallelujah. Please open with me the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. And I have belief and faith that somebody's life is going to be changed today. Do you believe that? Open with me, Gospel of John, chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1. And don't close your Bibles until the end of the story. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it's not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So there was this beautiful well, actually given by Jacob to his son. Is a historical well where you can take water. And Jesus traveled. He was tired. Even Jesus get tired. So don't act as a Superman, Christians. Some Christians want to be Supermans. You can't be Superman. Just be yourself. Look at your neighbor, say, be yourself. Right, right, be yourself. You don't need to be a super Christian, super ultra Christian. Even Jesus was tired. And he sat down at the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink? Verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, you are a Jew, I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his son and his flock and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will come in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me that water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here and draw water. He told her, go and call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that place where we met must worship is Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, meaning Jesus Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus replied, I who speak to you am he. Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. No one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have and I did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Then Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, my friend, I think that this Bible story is one of the most significant Bible stories in the New Testament. And I will tell you why. I will tell you the reason. I think the more I study this Bible verse, the more I study this story, the more revelations I get. You see, we are talking about a well. How many of you have had wells in your country? Have you ever seen water wells? Nowadays, we have pumps. We pump the water up. Amen? But now in those days, they didn't have pumps. They had this jar, and they throw it in the well, and they get water. Listen carefully to me, because I want to reach to your soul today. You see, there was this well called the Jacob's Well. A well that people all come in and taking water from. This well, or this water well, represents everything that life presents. Symbolically, it symbolizes life and the business of life that people all are trying to live. Why? Because this water well was the center, the place that everyone comes to get water. And why do you need water? You need water to live. If you don't have water, you die. So this water well was what? It symbolizes life, daily life, and busy life. And this Samaritan woman, listen, there is a lot of revelation here today. And this Samaritan woman, what did she go to do there? She went to take water. Why she went to take water? Because that is the routine of her life. Every day she has to go there and take water. Why? Because she needs water to live. She needs water to survive. Isn't it? So that was her daily life. And some of you, your daily life is the same. Some of you say, well, my daily life is so bored. Every morning I wake up, I go, I do some cleanings, I do some job, I do some work. Then I'm very tired, I come home, I go to the supermarket, I cook some food, I eat, watch television, I sleep. Next morning, I'm going to do the same. I go to my work, and then I make some money. I go to the supermarket, I buy food, I drink, I eat, I sleep again and again until Sunday. Are you listening today? That is a routine of life. We are all busy. Everyone in this room is busy. If I ask you today, are you okay? You say, no, Pastor, I'm busy. I'm busy with something. Some of you are busy with projects. Some of you are busy with getting married. Some of you are busy with making a business. Some of you are busy with something. Mothers are busy with raising their children. Husbands are busy. We are all busy. Busy, busy, busy. And the Samaritan woman was busy. She was busy going to the well. And the well symbolizes our what? Busy life. And listen, this is beautiful. And in the middle of this busy life, there was a man sitting right at the well. Just like this. His name is Jesus. Just sitting there. And do you know that there is a Jesus sitting right there in the middle of your business? In the middle of your busy life, that you and I are so busy, busy with so many things, there is somebody sitting in the very center of your busy life. And his name is Jesus. And he said, I stand behind the door of your heart and I knock the door. And if you open that door, I will come and I will live with you. That Jesus, in the middle of your busy life, busy come, busy, easy come, easy go, busy come, busy go. You are all busy, 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 busy. In the middle of your business, there is somebody sitting and is waiting for you. Waiting for you. And in this story, this is powerful. Listen what happens. I love this Bible verse. When the Samaritan woman comes, what did Jesus say? He said, woman, give me some drink. What did he say? Give me some drink. And what did the woman say? He said, how can you, Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, because we are enemies, how can you ask me, how can you even talk to me? Do you know that there is a political message in this? You know that Jesus Christ, when he was sitting at the well of Jacob and asking that Samaritan woman that no Jew want to talk to, no Jew want to associate with, by the way, she's even a woman, you should not even talk to a woman, let alone she is a Samaritan. Hello? Suddenly, Jesus Christ the social border, broke the borders, broke all kind of limitations, reach out to that woman and said, give me a drink. Wow. And here we are today, even in the body of Christ, there is racism and discrimination. Don't look at me so holy. Even today, people are not associating with each other because they are from different countries, or because they are from different tribes, or because they are from different neighborhoods. The other day, I was talking to some Dutch friends. They said, where is your church? I said, our church is in Balmer. They said, Balmer, what? Are you still alive? We don't go there. It's dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Let us be honest. Let us be real. That we foreigners, we as foreigners, we are teaching our children, come with the lighter skin boyfriend. Don't look at me like that. It's true. And we are believers. We are Christians. And we Christians are ourselves practicing racism. What do you expect the worldly people do if we ourselves are practicing racism within our hearts? Don't look at me so holy. You see what Jesus did? Jesus broke the social barrier. Jews and Samaritans couldn't talk. But Jesus passed that border and said, give me a drink. Sometimes even we Christians don't eat each other's food. Hello? We don't associate with each other. Don't look at me so holy. That's a fact. The other day I was watching a television program. A mother from Asian, one of Asian countries, she was saying to her daughter, who is living in Europe, that don't come back to my country without bringing me lighter skinned children and grandchildren. Oh my God. Oh my God. You see, humanity is not about the color of your skin. Humanity is about the conduct of your character. Humanity is about your life, not the color of your skin. Hallelujah. And there was this racism, apartheid between Samaritans and Jews. And Jesus was a Jew. And what did Jesus do? Jesus broke that barrier, went to the Samaritan woman and said, give me water. I want to drink your water. Give me water. Wow. Today in the world that we are living, we don't want to associate with other people, especially Christians. We think that we are the best in the world, that we never make a mistake. We are number one. We are the highest. We don't look at our own mistakes. We start judging other people. Hello, somebody. It's time that we take off the masks. It's time that we are real. It's time that we act like Jesus. Hallelujah. Can Papa preach today? Do not move but by what television is telling you. Do not move but by what political people are telling you. Move by what Jesus is telling you. Are you listening to me? The other day I was hearing somebody telling me that an undocumented migrant, you understand that piece of plastic, this, those who don't have it, that undocumented migrant is not allowed to do Holy Communion in the church. And I don't want to tell you that church is a migrant church. It's not a Dutch church, it's a migrant church. They say that if you are undocumented, you cannot do Holy Communion. But when there is Thanksgiving and when there is tithe and offering, that undocumented migrant must give the money. That's shame. That is shame. We want the money of the undocumented migrant, but we don't want the undocumented migrant to do Holy Communion. My goodness, what a hypocrisy. Come on, somebody. I feel like preaching today. Jesus broke the barrier, broke racism, broke gender discrimination. He passed by the woman and said, give me water. Give me water. And immediately, what did the woman do? She became political. Immediately, that is our society today. We become political. We are just following what television say. We are just following what media say. We don't think for ourselves. We don't read for ourselves. We don't interpret for ourselves. We just follow. Hello? Can I talk heart to heart to you today? You see, I have a friend, a wonderful friend. He is a rabbi. Many times I talk about him, because I really like that man. Actually, today, in 85, there is an election, and he is one of the candidates to be chosen as the man of the year in Amsterdam. Rabbi Lodi van de Kamp. He's a rabbi, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. An Orthodox Jew. He doesn't know anything about Christianity. He is not a Christian. He's a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, Orthodox. And you know what this man did? This man did. This man, many years ago, he went to certain youth in Amsterdam West who were ridiculing and threatening Jews. Some Moroccan youth and so. He went to them and he became their friend. Can you imagine that? And what happened? He moved to the Islamic imams and he said, look, the problem of a Jew is not a Muslim. And the problem of a Muslim is not a Jew. The problem that they both have is the ideas that we are seeing in the media. And what did this Jewish man do? He became friends with Islamic imams. And now they have a foundation between Jews and Muslims here in Amsterdam. And they are coming together. Even their faith is different. They are coming together and they are, you know, talking and blessing one another, Jews and Muslims. 2 weeks from now, me and him are having an interview by a reporter. It will come in the media. I will let you know. My question is this. If a Christian today, goes and talks with a Jewish rabbi, that's not a problem. They say Jews, Jesus was a Jew, is good, no problem. But if a Christian tries to become a friend with a Muslim, everybody will be against that person. That is the hypocrisy of religion. I feel like, hey, Jesus, help me today. There is some message here, and I want you to get it. There is some message here, I want you to get it. Even today, they made a research among the Christians in America who are not black. They don't care about black people. Does really black life matters? I don't know. Jesus, help us. But Jesus said, I will break the barrier, I will break the Samaritan Jew, and I will go to the woman that nobody talks to, and I will talk to him. And that is how our Jesus is. Our Jesus doesn't know nationality, color, race, language. Our Jesus surpasses all of them and says, come and give me a drink. Let me drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Listen, the woman becomes political. Are you listening? She said, but you are a Jew. I am this. You are a Muslim. I am a Christian. You are this. I am that. That is how we are living today. And it's going to be even worse coming days. Look what happened. The woman said, sir, give me this. How can you have this living water? The woman said, Jesus said, Everyone who drinks this water, he will be thirsty again. But the one who drinks the water I give him, he will never, never, never thirst. How is that possible? Now, Jesus is becoming personal. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. In everybody's life, even your life, there is something that needs to be fed. In everybody's life, there is an emptiness that needs to be felt. And that emptiness cannot be quenched by the waters of the world. It cannot be filled by the alcoholic drinks of the world. It cannot be touched by the partying and being happy and jolly of the world. There is an emptiness inside every man's heart. There is emptiness. That is why sometimes you are angry. There is emptiness inside of you, and that emptiness causes you to be angry, causes you to be hot-tempered. There is an emptiness inside of you causing you to do things that you don't want to do. There is an emptiness inside of you and me that causing us to be unsatisfied, to be jealous, not liking other things, not loving other people's progress. There is an emptiness inside every man. And Jesus comes and says, woman, there is an emptiness inside of you. And I'm not talking about the water that you drink. I'm talking about the living water. That when you drink the water I am giving you, that emptiness will move away. The spring of the living water is going to grow from within your spirit and will grow and grow and grow and grow until you are satisfied. My God! Woo! There is an emptiness inside the heart of every man and every woman. You may hide it from your friends. You will cover it with your makeup and your Facebook profile. But there is something inside you that is empty. And Jesus says, I can only feel that emptiness if you drink the water I give you. But before that, you need to give me the water. That means give me your life. Give me that busy life. Give me that busy, busy life. Busy. Sometimes I'm asking people, what are you busy with? I'm busy. I'm always busy. Give that busyness. Give that being busy to Jesus. And he will empty. He will fill your empty heart. And listen now. Jesus is going to become personal now. He says, woman, the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And look what the woman says. The woman said, oh, Jesus, verse 15, Jesus, give me this water so that I don't come back here again. Jesus is still thinking naturally. That is how we are, how we Christians are. We want quick fixes. We want to quickly fix our life. Listen to me, anything that is quickly fixed is not correct. Are you listening? You need to cook slowly. And when you are cooked slowly, you're going to taste better. Are you listening? A microwave food is not nice. But the food that is cooked slowly, little by little, on that little fire, that is going to taste good, my brother. And God want to change your life little by little. Don't go for quick fixes. Don't go from crusade to crusade and say, yeah, it's true. The man is like this. The man is a miracle maker. The man, you go. Some of you have been to conferences again and again and again. I am sorry. Your life is not changed. You are still the same as I know you before. You go to conferences, you go to crusades, the new evangelists come, the new pastor come, the new this come. You all go, you give your monies, and you are doing it for 20 years. You say, pastor, how do you know? Because I'm watching local TV. Sometimes I see your faces there. And I see, hey, that is my member in the church. Don't go for quick fixes. God doesn't want to quickly fix you. You cannot quickly be rich. You cannot quickly be happy. You cannot quickly be a millionaire. You cannot quickly have a nice husband or wife. It takes time. Whoa. He said, woman said, verse 15, give me this. I want it. And Jesus said, go and call your husband. Now, look, now Jesus is becoming more personal. And what did Jesus say? He said, the woman said, he said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you are right, because you have already five of them. You have five husbands, probably at the same time. And this one that is with you is the sixth. Six man at one time. Praise the Lord. Wow. Can I tell you something? Jesus touched her emptiness. He said, that is the thing that makes you so empty. Husbands. Actually, not husbands. Boyfriends. Not one. Not two. Six. And you're all having these boyfriends. You're all looking for these boyfriends. Not one. Not two. But six. Because something inside you wants to be loved. It's empty. You want the approval of other man. You want to hear that you are beautiful. You want to receive compliments from man. Because when you were young, your father didn't like you. He never told you that you are beautiful. He never told you that you are his beautiful daughter. And because of that, you find your love in other man. And all these men, they come and enjoy you. And you think that your emptiness, your empty heart is filled with their love. But that is not a real love. Somebody listening to me. Fathers, can I talk to you something today? Fathers, love your daughters. If your daughter is 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, 15 years old, especially you fathers, love your daughters. Tell them that they are beautiful. Tell them that you love them. Because the doctors say those girls who are at the young age, hear their fathers telling them that they love them, that they are the princess of their life, they are the beauties of their life. Those girls, when they become teenager, will not go find a boyfriend and empty that love with those boyfriends. Fathers, fathers, you are the first man ever in the life of your daughter. Are you hearing me? The very first man in the life of a girl is his father. And if you disappoint that girl, if you disappoint that 8 years, 9 years, 10 years old girl by your behavior, that girl will never trust a man. Brothers, older brothers, you are the second man in the life of your sisters. Treat them well. There is this emptiness, and this emptiness in the heart of this woman made her to be a lover of six men at the same time. And Jesus said, you are right, because none of these husbands are real your husbands. And now the woman becomes religious. You see, the person who has a lot of, you know, emptiness suddenly preached to Jesus. Verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews claim that we have to worship Jerusalem mountain. You see how we are? In order to fill in our emptiness, we become religious. How do you pray? Do you pray on your knees? Do you close your eyes? Do you raise your hand? Do you be silent? Do you shout? What do you do? In some churches, if you don't kneel down, they don't accept your prayers. He said, the brother is laughing here. Our father worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim to worship in Jerusalem. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, believe me. Believe me, you woman. A time is coming that you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor that mountain, because there is no mountain anymore. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. Can I give you a revelation? Some of you are sleepy, but can I give you a revelation? What did Jesus say? He said, you Samaritans worship something that you do not know. Do you know that today in our world, there are people who do not know that they are worshiping Jesus, but their lifestyle and their goodness indirectly, without them knowing, are worshiping Jesus. The only thing you need to do is you tell them about Jesus. They will immediately give their life to Christ. They are by nature good people. Hey. Hey. The other day, one of our sisters here, she is not here today. Even she gave a testimony, I believe. She lost her passport, resident permit, everything. Here in Southeast, in the metro. And five Muslim women with men covered their hair. You know, those people that we look like this to them because they have covered their hair. I don't understand. What's wrong with us? If a woman covers her hair, look at her. She is ugly. She is a religious fanatic. But if a woman can walk like this, basically you can see her underwear, that is no problem in this society. Christians, before you judge somebody, it takes a lot. Look, I am not agreeing with that woman covering or whatever, but it takes a lot of courage to stand up for your faith. Sorry for my language. Hey, he says, she says, I can see you are prophets. Now she's becoming a religious person. And Jesus said, listen, put aside your religion. You know, because from today, you are not going to worship God, neither in Jerusalem, nor in there, or nor in there. Neither in Mecca, nor in Jerusalem, nor in Vatican. Nor in Rome, nor in Riyadh, nor in Jerusalem. The only place you worship God is in your heart. Jesus said, yet a time is coming. And the time has come now when you true worshipers, you will worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hello, my friends. They are all useless. Are you listening to me? They are all useless. Everything is useless. Everything is religion. But Jesus is not talking about religion. Jesus is talking about a transformation of your heart. Jesus is talking about something that comes in your heart and fills you in. Listen, look at me today. Some of you, you come and tell me, let us have a bigger building. Even we have this building, we cannot fill in it. Listen to me. I don't have an ambition to become a great preacher. I don't want to be a great preacher. I don't want to be a great man of God. I don't want to be a wonderful preacher of the word of God. No, you know what I want to be? I want to be a great father. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great friend to you. I'm not interested to be in a big church, mega. The mega you have, the mega headache you will get. It's not about how famous you are. It's not about how big church you have. It's not about how much money you make. It's about being who you are.
Het is tijd om afscheid van u te nemen. Helaas kunnen wij die laatste 3 minuten dit onderdeel niet doorgeven. Bedankt voor het luisteren. Goede nacht. Er is toegewenst en zo de Heer het leidt. Tot morgen om 12:00. Dag allemaal.
I'm almost done. Listen. He said, you worship me in truth and in spirit. The woman said, I know that Messiah is coming.